studying the Sugya Motzi Shemra on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, but from a very specific perspective. Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Dibro Maskil Motzi Shemra tells us that Motzi Shemra means that the Baal, after he consummated his marriage, he brought Edom to testify that his wife had znus during the 12-month period of erusin, and they turned out to be disqualified. They were disqualified as witnesses. And the subject of our discussion for today is going to be exactly, according to Rabbeinu Tam, how they were disqualified. We have a classic case, which is the Rambam Shita that we discussed at great length last time, and that's called Hazom, which means that the Edei Baal was subject to a testimony of the Mazimim that Imoni wa Yisim. But that's not Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam learns that the reason why we disqualified the Edei Baal was because of Hakhasha, not because of Hazom. And the question is exactly what the reason is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we disqualify these Edom in the case of Akhosha, and we force the Baal, who brought these Edom into Bezdin, to pay a very stiff, heavy knas of 100 sloim. And that's the claim of the Baal against, a claim of the Av against the Baal, because he brought in false witnesses. And again, why are these witnesses false? According to Rabbeinu Tam, because of Hukhreshu. Rabbeinu Tam also gives another possibility, and that's called Lokivnu Edusam. That you'll see about seven lines up before the end of the Tosfos. Lokivnu Edusam. Now, the Ran says the following. I can't understand Rabbeinu Tam, and I can't interpret it literally, that he means Hukhreshu in the classic sense, which means that a second pair of Edom, which were brought by the Av, say that the first pair of Edom are telling a lie, because she wasn't with, you know, she couldn't have been with the Edom at that time, in that place, because she was with us at that time in a different place. Because in such a case, we have a tray-tray situation. We don't know who's telling the truth and who's not. There's no reason why we should believe the father's witnesses more than we believe the Baal's witnesses. So how could the Baal be accused of being a Motzi Shemra to pay such a stiff fine? Well, we don't know if his Edom were telling the truth or they weren't telling the truth. Therefore, the Ran takes the word Hukhreshu and reinterprets it. What Rabbeinu Tam had in mind by Hukhreshu was not that a second pair of Edom came in to contradict the first pair of Edom, but that one witness contradicted the second witness. And that's called Hikhishu Es Atzman. So again, there's only one pair of Edom, according to the Ran's interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam. But that pair of Edom are classified as Edom Mukhashim simply because they contradicted one to the other. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, what does Rabbeinu Tam mean in the second scenario when he says six lines up before the end of the Tosfos, O lo kivnu edusam? What does that mean? Because lo kivnu edusam means that the two witnesses did not overlap, so to speak. There was no equality, you know, equation between the two witnesses. Obviously, they contradicted one another. So what is Rabbeinu Tam adding here when he says either Hukhreshu or lo kivnu edusam? So last time, you may remember, we had a whole discussion about the possibility that the Ran's second case of lo kivnu edusam means that they couldn't answer the questions. They said lo yodea. And that would apply to what's called chakiros. Chakiros are the seven questions, all of which the Edom have to answer. If they can't answer any one of those seven questions, then we cannot accept their Edus. Again, the Rambam is of the opinion that the case of Motzi Shemra is because of a Huzmu HaEdom. So that's a whole different story, because then we believe the second pair of Edom, we don't believe the first pair of Edom. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about Hukhreshu, and the Ran is interpreting it as a reference to Hukhreshu Machmas Atzmon, that they contradicted one to the other. Now, what we're going to discuss in terms of Hukhreshu, when one witness contradicts the other witness, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? There's something called drisha v'chakira. The Torah requires drisha v'chakira, and there are basic issues, basic questions that are addressed to the Edom, and the Edom have to answer those questions. Obviously, if the Edom are contradicting each other, we have to throw this Edus, this Kat, out of Bezdin. But what we want to raise is the following question. Motzi Shemra has an element of Dine Momonos to it, which means that if the Baal's claim against his wife is proven false, then the Baal has to pay the Mea Slun. That's a monetary case. On the other hand, obviously there's a capital case here because we're dealing with Nefashos. We want to know whether she was guilty of this crime. Now, if we focus for one moment on the monetary dimension of Motzi Shem Ra, then let's ask the following question. In a case of Edim who testify in a monetary case, do they have to answer the questions of Drishas V'Chakiros? And let's ask another question. Let's say they contradict each other in Drishas V'Chakiros. Is that going to undermine their edus? So we want to learn today is the Rambam. And that you'll see if you have page Tzadihei on the right side, Vihine HaRambam. The Rambam writes that in Dine Momonos, Afal Pisha Ein Edei Momonos Tzrichim Drisha V'Chakira, the requirement of Drisha V'Chakira, which we find in Edus, is going to be alleviated, it's going to be removed with regard to monetary cases. We're only going to apply the requirement of Drisha V'Chakira in capital cases. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, in Hishua Edim Zed Zeb Drisha V'Chakiros Edusa B'Tela. What this means is that the judges, on their own initiative, decided in a monetary case to subject the Edim to these very heavy interrogations of Drishos V'Chakiros. And sure enough, to their surprise, or maybe to their chagrin, they found out that there were inconsistencies. So the Rambam is in a bind here. He's got a Havamina, he's got a Maskoris. Havamina is that Ein Edim Momonos Tzrichim Drishos V'Chakiros, that there was no need for the, you know, within the framework of Edim Momonos to investigate these Edim with Drishos V'Chakiros. Why should therefore there be an Ipsul and disqualify the Edim simply because they contradicted each other in Drishos V'Chakiros? There was no need to even ask them the Drishos V'Chakiros. Says the Rambam, no. That the Maskana is that even though there was no need, there was no requirement to be Doresh the Edim with Chakiris, nevertheless, if Bezdin went ahead and did so, possibly because they were sensing that maybe there's something, something's fishy with these Edim, so they interrogated them, says the Rambam, once there's a contradiction in the Edus, we have to throw out the Edus. Does everybody have that? So again, if you want to summarize the main point of the Rambam, you would write the following. That according to the Rambam, you don't need Drishas V'Chakiros in Dine Momonos, but if they subjected the Edim to Drishas V'Chakiros and there was an inconsistency between the Edim in Drishas V'Chakiros, then we have to disqualify the Edus. Then the Rambam says, well, actually this is not the Rambam, let me correct myself, this is the Shach. The Shach wants to take the Rambam one step further. And he says if the judges on their own initiative decided to subject the Edim in Dine Momonos to Drishas V'Chakiros, then if one of the Edim says Eini Yodea, he's not contradicting the other Edim, he's just simply confessing, he's admitting that he doesn't know the answer to the question. Says the Shach, and this is in Choshen Mishpat, so he says Edusa B'Tela. That's amazing. It's one thing to say if there's a contradiction between the two Edim, then their Edus is batel. It's another thing to say, for example, that in Dini Nefashos, if the Eidim say Eini Yodea, the Eidus is Batel. But to say that in Dini Mamonos, we're going to go a step further, and we're going to equate Dini Mamonos with Dini Nefashos. So we're going to say that just like in Dini Nefashos, if they say Eini Yodea, we don't know the answer to the question, we have to throw out the Eidus, so too in Dini Mamonos, we're going to apply those rules. Which means an exact equation between Dine Mamonos and Dine Nefashos. In Dine Mamonos, we didn't even have to ask the Drishas for Chakiris. We could have relied and we could have validated the Eidus even without Drishas for Chakiris. I can understand the Rambam's position that if there's a contradiction in Drishas for Chakiris, because the judges on their own initiative decided to subject the Eidim to such interrogations, that's one thing, they contradicted each other. But now the Shach is taking it one step further. And he's saying that even if there was an Eini Yodea, we still have to throw out the Eidim. Now, we can understand, according to the Ran, the two cases of the Ran, of Rabbeinu Tam. Remember Rabbeinu Tam in Motzi Shem had two cases. One was Hukushu, and the other was Lokivnu Eidusam. And we want to know what's the difference between the two, because if Hukleshu means Machmas Atzman, that they contradicted one or the other, that's exactly what Lokivnu Eidusa means. So why is Rabbeinu Tam repeating himself and offering another possible scenario? And the answer is that Lokivnu Eidusa means they weren't able to establish their Eidus. They weren't able to give the Bezdin the answers to the questions that they were asked. And that's called Eini Yodea. And now we can accept the Shach, and there's an equation between Dini Mamonos and Dini Nefashos. And just like in Dini Nefashos, in the Chakiris, they must answer all the Chakiris. If they say any Yodea to any of the Chakiris, we have to throw out the Eidus. So too in Dini Mamonos. Once we're, again, we're pressing that voluntary button of asking the questions of Chakiris, they have to answer the questions, because now we've bridged the gap between Dini Mamonos and Dini Nefashos, and any Yodea is enough to passel the Eidim. So what we're up to now is the following. Again, just to summarize, that when the Ran says that Rabbeinu Tam is talking about Hukushu Machmas Atzman, Lokivnu Eidusam is also Machmas Atzman. What's the difference between case A and case B? In case A, we disqualify the Eidim because one Eid contradicted the other Eid in the Drishas V'Chakiros. In scenario B, one aid, or maybe even both aidim, that goes without saying, could not answer the drishas for chakiris. And that too, based on the equation to Dini Nefashos, is going to undermine and disqualify the aid. From now on, from the paragraph that's on the bottom of your right column until the balance of this essay, we're going to speak about a different type of interrogation, and that's called bidikos. Well, let's explain. Drishos means the seven basic questions of Makom and Zman. Where did it happen and when did it happen? That's called Chakiros. Did I say Drishos? I meant to say Chakiros. Sorry. Now we get to Drishos. Drishos are questions beyond Makom and Zman that are relevant to the case itself. How did he commit the murder? What did he use as a murder weapon? And so forth and so on. The lowest level on the rung is called bidikos. Bidikos means questions of details that really don't bear on the story itself, and they will not in any way impact on the upshot of what the Eidim saw. But nevertheless, they are details which, if the Bezdin will interrogate them about those details, what color shirt was the murderer wearing? What color shirt was the victim wearing? That's called bidikos. And we want to study bidikos from two perspectives. One perspective is, how significant are bidikos in Dini Nefashos? And the other perspective is, how significant are they in Dini Mamonos? Now in Dini Mamonos, and in Dini Nefashos for that matter, there was no need for the Bezdin, there was no requirement for the Bezdin to interrogate the Eidim on the level of Bidikos. That was the initiative of the judges themselves. They decided, you know what? We're going to have fun with these Eidim. We're going to interrogate them. What color of shirt was he wearing? And then we're going to interrogate the other Eidim. And lo and behold, we'll find a contradiction. So in that case, just like we saw in the Rambam about Dini Mamonos in Drishas V'Chakiris, there was no need to interrogate the Edom in Dini Mominos, but nevertheless, if there's a contradiction, we have to disqualify. So too, in Dini Nefashos, with regard to what? Bedikos. That since there's no need, or shall we say, despite the fact that there's no need to interrogate the Edom Nefashos in Bedikos, but nevertheless, if there was a contradiction, we have to throw out the Edom. What would you say about the following question? Supposing we ask the witnesses what color shirt was the murderer wearing, and he says, "Eini yoda." That already would not possibly be. And Reb Chaim, in his Sefer, which we're going to see here in the left column, is going to give us a whole explanation as to why, in the case of Chakiros, if they say Eini yoda, again, I'm talking about the Nefashos, we have to throw out the Edom. But in Bedikos, although contradiction would undermine the Edom, but Eini yoda doesn't possibly be. Okay, that's what we're going to see in Reb Chaim.
The Drishas of Chakiros were in Dini Mominos. It wasn't necessary to question them. Would the witnesses have the right to decline to answer? It's not an Eini yoda.
Refuse to answer? Yeah, I'm not a bucky in halachas, but my gut reaction would be that's the same as Eini yoda. We're not going to punish them for rebellion. I don't know. That's what I would say. Oh, so now take a look at the last paragraph here where he introduces the concept of bedikos. And he says the following. That if you read the Ran carefully, when he speaks about hakhosha in order to determine what Rabbeinu Tam had in mind for Motzi Shemra, it seems from his language that the case of Akhosha was in Drishus v'Chakiros. But if there was a Akhosha in Bedikos, then he would not be Chayav for Motzi Shema. So let's understand the case. Right, the man consummates his marriage, brings two Edom into Beznin to support his claim that she had this Znus. And the Edom was subjected to Bedikos. And the Ran seems to indicate that's not an issue at all. That's not Motzi Shemra. Even if we find some sort of discrepancy amongst the Edom in their answers to the Bedikos, that's not an issue. When does it become an issue? If there was a discrepancy in their Chakiros, Drishus v'Chakiros, or even if they said Eini yoda in the Drishus v'Chakiros. And we've already seen that in Drishus v'Chakiros, if you take the Rambam together with the Shach and you put it all together, then in Drishus v'Chakiros, even though we're dealing with Dini Mominos, where the Beis Din had no obligation to subject him to those inquiries, nevertheless, we're going to throw out the Edom in Dini Mominos if either they contradicted themselves or they said any of them. That's as far as Drishus v'Chakiros are concerned. But what about Akhosh and Bedikos? And again, if you're dealing with Dini Mominos, for example, the father is suing the husband for slander, and we're talking about Meyas Slayim, then there was no need for Drishus v'Chakiros. How much more so there was no need for Bedikos? So again, in Drishus v'Chakiros, we might say that the Akhosh undermines the Avis. But in Bedikos, if there's Akhosha, that's not going to undermine the Avis. And the entire balance of this essay is to try to understand why. If you're saying that even when the judges on their own initiative interrogated the Edom with X, Y, or Z, whatever it was, again, we're talking about Dini Mominos, but once there's Akhosha, then it means that they're contradicting each other, then why not apply the same logic to Bedikos? So let's take a look at the Rambam again that we started with. It's the same Rambam in Perek Gimel, Mehilchus Eidus, but now let's read it on the top left more carefully. Afal pisha ein eidim momenos tzrichim drishos v'chakiros v'mekhishu ha'eidim zed zed bedrishos o b'chakiros eidusom b'telo. Says the Rambam, v'mekhishu ha'eidim zed zed b'bedikos a dusan kayemes. Now again, what the Rambam is saying is that there was no need, there was no obligation on the part of the judges to subject these Edom to Bedikos. And therefore, says the Rambam, even if when the judges took that initiative, there was akasha in bedikos, nevertheless, they do some kayemes. Now, we're talking about Eidei Momonos. That's we have to understand, we have to emphasize that over and over again. And the Rambam is saying that in the case of Dini Momonos, im hikhishu Eidim zedzeh, bibdikos, eidusan kayemes. Had it been a case of Dini Nefashos, then even though the Bezdin were not required to subject them to that interrogation, what color shirt was he wearing? Nevertheless, if there was a contradiction between the Eidim, then we would throw out the Eidim. But in Dini Momonos, the Rambam says, only in a case where there was a akasha in Chakiros, which that itself was unnecessary for the Bezdin, then we're going to throw out the Eidim. We're talking about Dini Momonos. But nevertheless, in the case of akasha v'bdikos, where even in Dini Nefashos there was no need or requirement to subject them to these questions of bedikos, then hakhosha bedikos is not a problem. It doesn't disqualify Eidei Momonos. Now what that means is that hakhosha bedikos in Dini Momonos is a dus on kayemes. Their edus is clearly, according to the Rambam, valid, and then we come back to the discussion about motzi shemra. So let's now we have to reset. Press the reset button. We're talking about Rabbeinu Tam, and we're talking about motzi shemra. What was that kasha? What was that kasha that Rabbeinu Tam had in mind that we have to throw out the Eidim? We have to disqualify the Eidim. Again, what's the case? The Eidei Ha'av are coming to testify Let me start that again. The Av is coming into Beis Din to sue the Baal for Me'as Slayim, for slander, for Motzi Shemra. The Baal had brought Eidim. And now we interrogated the Eidim. What kind of case are we dealing with, Rabbos? Are we dealing with Dini Nefashos or Dini Momonos? Oh, right now we're dealing with Dini Momonos. Again, we'll have to get back to the issue of whether she had the znus or not, and who was the bowl and all that. But right now, if we focus on the father's claim and his suit against his son-in-law to pay Mea Sloim as a knas for Motzi Shemra, then we're dealing with Dini Momonos. So when the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Baal is considered a Motzi Shema because we disqualify his Eidim, and that was a result of Hakhosha, what kind of Hakhosha are we dealing with? What would be your knee-jerk reaction? It would have to be in Drishas for Hakiris, because we've already said that according to the Rambam, as far as Dini Momonos is concerned, if it was Bedikos, then Hakhosha would not undermine and disqualify the Eidim. So at the very least, Rabbeinu Tam he's got to be addressing a case where the law is that the Eidus is completely invalid, and that would require Hakhosha and Drishas v'Chakiris, because we said that Hakhosha and Bedikos would not undermine the Eidus, and that's what he points out here, which is about. If for those who like to see it inside, it's about 10 lines down from the left column. He says, "Kevadim hichishu zed zeb bedikos b'mamon edusan kayemes." And as we just saw in the Rambam is explicit about that. Is shot because of a rad derak bechakiros. Remember, we made a diuk on the bottom right from the Ran's language that. Only in the case of a chishu zedzeb drishus for chakiros, then there's motzi shemra. But a chishu zedzeb bedikos, then he's not chayav for motzi shemra. And the answer is because hakosha in bedikos is kosher in dini momonos. So that how could the father say you owe me 100 slime because you slandered my daughter, in a case where the Eidim that the Baal had brought contradict themselves in Bedikos, because if the father wants to claim monetary suit, a penalty, then let's look at the Eidim from the perspective of Didi Mominos. And let's ask the question whether these Eidim contradicting themselves, one another, the way the Ran interprets Rav Eitan, in a way that would disqualify the Eidim. Well, the answer is if they contradict each other, Drishus Chakiros, then we said that even though the judges didn't have to subject them to those Drishus Chakiros, nevertheless we have to throw out the Eidim, and it's similar to Dini Nefashos. But if we're talking about Hakosh and Bedikos, the Ran says explicitly that in Dini Mominos, Hakosh and Bedikos does not undermine the Eidus, which is really interesting, because if that be the case, why did the judges even bother with Bedikos? It seems like an exercise of futility, because even in the worst case scenario, if we find a discrepancy between the Eidim in Bedikos, we're still going to be machshir the Eidus. So I don't have an answer to that question right now, but I can just tell you this, that the Ran is very careful. When he says Hakosha, he adds Hakosha b'chakiros. Why? He's coming lafuke. Why Rabbo say Hakosha b'dikos? Because Hakosha b'dikos would not disqualify the Eidim. Because as far as this issue of whether or not he's slandering her and whether or not he should pay this heavy penalty, that's Dini Mominos, and in Dini Mominos we have a halach that even if there's hakosh in Bedikos, it doesn't undermine the Eidim. And therefore, there's no way, no how, you could say he's a motzi shemra. So he says, V'keima de mekhishu zeetze b'mdikos, b'momon, eidusom kayemes, shapir kosav aran, derak b'chakiros, only in a case where there's a contradiction in the chakiros, chayav mishu motzi shemra, because we said that even though there was no need for chakiras, but if there was a contradiction, the Eidus is possible. Aval b'bedikos, eino chayav mishu motzi shema. And that's the way we understand the Ran. So again, Rabbi Osai, everything is great until this point where we're going to quote the Maram. The Ran is logical. The Ran says that when the Koyter Benitam is a kosher which generates a chiyu of motzi shema because the Eidim of Sulim, that's only if there was a kosher in Drishus v'chakiros. If that kosha would have been in Bedikos, the implication is that the Ran in that case would say that he's not a motzi shemra, and the reason for that is because the Ran in Perek Gimel Vilchus Eidus says that what? That in Dini Mominos, even if there was a kosha in Bedikos, eidusam kayemes. But then we get to the Maram. And the Maram writes that in Hukhashu b'chakiros, Bain im hukhashu b'chakiros, Bain im hukhashu b'bdikos, is the Rabbeinu Tam chayav mishu motzi shemra. Now, if it was only the Maram, okay, the Maram lived, three and a half centuries, four centuries ago, but chen kosav ha-me'iri b'divrei Rabbeinu Tam. The Me'iri is already going back to the Rishonim. And he says, Hukshu b'bedikos over chakiras. Alright, I'm not a big fan of the Me'iris, let's say. You know, I am, but let's say I wasn't. Not only that, but take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos on Daf Ches Amud Beis says explicitly, and he repeats himself on Daf Ches Amud Beis, that afilu hukshu b'bedikos chayav habal mishu motzi shemra. What is going on over here? I mean, you're talking now about Tosfos, the Me'iri, and the Maram. And they're all saying that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Hukhashu b'bdikos, he's a motzi shemra. Wow, that's pretty way out. I mean, we, as far as we know, in Dini Mominos, there's no psul in the Eidus of Hukhashu b'bdikos. And you know, if we want to, you know, sideswipe this issue, you know, we could say that maybe what he means by hukushu is hukushu b'chakiris, but it doesn't seem to be that that's what Tosfos has in mind. Now, at the end of this paragraph, you'll see the last three lines, that Tzorach Iyun, Kevon Dim Hikhishu Ha Edim Zed Zeb Bdikos, Bedini Momenos, I do some Kshera, Amai Chayav Mishumotzi Shemra, Kshekhishu Zed Zeb Bdikos. So you want to underline those last three words. It doesn't make any sense to say that Hukhishu Bdikos, he's Chayav, the Baal's Chayav Mishumotzi Shemra, when the Edim is Kshera, which means that we believe what the Edim are saying. You know, if we believe the Edim, you can't turn around and call him a slanderer. Now, at this point, we want to take a look at Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is going to give us a little bit of an insight, maybe even a more than just a little bit of an insight, into the difference between Drishus Chakiris on the one hand and Bedikos on the other hand. So you'll see a line in this big paragraph here that starts with the words Bechidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi. Okay, it's about halfway through the paragraph. Hadi Amra Torah Ve'inon Ve'edim Drisha V'Chakira. The Torah says V'Darashta V'Chakarta Heitev Chidsha Torah B'Zeh Shnei Chidushim. Number one, that Beis Din is obligated to interrogate the Edim with Drishas V'Chakiras. It's not an option. Again, we're talking about Dini Nefashos now. And number two, Shachakiris hei migufan shel edus. Oh, this is the key of keys over here. I'm so excited. Are you excited about this? This mamish, he's opening up a whole new understanding of why the Torah wants drishus v'chakiris. And the answer is because that's gufa shel edus. It's not just answers that they're giving to the questions. You know, there's the testimony and then there are interrogations. No. Those answers to those interrogations are an integral part of the Avis itself. Ilav kra, if not for the pasuk v'dorashta v'chakakta heitev hava mina da chakiros enam shayochim legufa shel Avis. Right, again, he can't tell you exactly where the murder took place. He can't pinpoint the location. But so what? He's still testifying about a murder, is he not? And he says, therefore, I would have said that this is not, you know, the answers to the Chakiris are not part of the Gufa Shaledus. They don't tell this, they're not part of the story that he's telling. The story he's telling is that Reuven murdered Shimon. But rather, Dover Acher. Dover Acher means that it's extraneous to the actual testimony. So we can identify testimony in two different parts. You know, the real kishkis, the hub of the testimony, is called Gufa Shaledus. And then there are all sorts of embellishments, but they're not really gufa shaledus. He calls them dover acheru. I mean, there are various conditions that have to be fulfilled, but it's not gufa shaledus. And he's saying the following, that if not for the pasuk v'darashta v'chakarta heitev, I would have said the chakiros is not a part, an integral part of the gufa shaledus. It's only to answer questions that are beyond the gufa shaledus. Do you follow? There are like what's it called? Concentric circles. Are you familiar with it? You have one circle that surrounds another circle. So the inner circle is the gufa shaledus circle. And now there are chakiros, which are definitely relevant to the gufa shaledus, but they're not part of the gufa shaledus. Comes along the Torah and says, "Name v'darashta v'chakarta heitev." And what does that mean? It means that the answers to these questions really form the basic fabric. They're part of the essential Avis themselves. So it's not just a Reuven killed Shimon. But Reuven killed Shimon on the corner of 9th and 1st Avenue at 7 p.m. on January 21st. You know, all the details.
That's part of the seven questions.
But here's the chiddush of the Torah. Don't think that those seven questions are in the outer circle, they're not part of the inner circle, meaning that they don't form the answers to the questions are not part of the gufa shaledus. The gufa shaledus is Reuven killed Shimon. Now you want to ask questions? Well, the Torah is going to say ask questions. Says Reb Chaim, when the Torah is saying ask those questions, the Torah is giving us a gevaldik chiddush that the answers to those questions are part and parcel of the gufa shaledus. The gufa shaledus is not Reuven killed Shimon, but Reuven killed Shimon here and at that time. Vahashta mikra. Now that we have the pasuk of a derashta v'chakarta heitev yadinon da chakiros hein migufa shel edus. That's Reb Chaim. But again, That's only with regard to Chakiros. Now we get down to the level of Bedikos. Oh, Bedikos, that's not part of the Gufa Shaledus. That's already Dover Acherhu. Bedikos is Dover Acher. Dover Acher means it's a very nice embellishment. It's nice to know that the murderer was wearing a white shirt, or that he was wearing galoshes and not shoes. I mean, all that is very nice, but it's not part of the Gufa Shaledus. Makal Musman, the Chakiros, that could be part of Gufa Shaledus. But Bedikos, they can never be part of the Gufa Shel Eidus. Oh, if that be the case, then Tosus says the following. If there was Akosh and Chakiros, and the Chakiros, according to Reb Chaim's definition, are what? Are they Dover Acher, or the part of Gufa Shel Eidus? They're Gufa Shel Eidus. That's called Eidus Mukreshes. But Bedikos, which is not shayach to the Gufa Shel Eidus, that's not called Eidus Mukreshes. And again, all this leads us to the question: why then does the Maram, and before him the Meiri, and before him the Tosa, why do they all assume that according to Rabbeinu Tam, if there was Akosha in Bedikos, then he's a Motzi Shemra? What do you mean he's Motzi Shemra? Okay, they had Akosha on something that's extraneous to the Eidus; it's not part of the Gufa Shel Eidus. So why are you faulting them? So that's what he says at the end of the paragraph. Tzarech Iyun, I don't understand why Chishu Eidim Bebdikos. Why should that be Motzi Shemra? That's not part of the Gufa Shel Eidus. So I just want to explain to you why this Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi is such a major revolution. It's such a departure. You know, you and I would say, well, there's Drishos, there's Chakiros, there's Bedikos. You know, it's all one hodgepodge. And that's where Reb Chaim is stepping up to the plate, and he's setting the record straight. He's saying, no, you don't understand what's going on. There are questions, the answers to which are the Gufa Shel Eidus. They tell the story, as the story is for any testimony requires telling a story, right? But Bedikos, that's already not part of the story. You know, if you're telling a story about a murder, you want to tell me exactly where and when it happened. But to tell me what color shirt the guy was wearing, that's already not me Gufa Shel Eidus. And again, what's going to be the nafkamina? Hakrosha. In the case of the Eidim that contradict each other in Drishus Chakiros, that's in Gufa Shel Eidus. That's the, you know, that's the part that you can't touch. You know, that's the the epicenter of Eidus. You know, it's got electric shocks over here. You know, you touch that and you're going to get a shock. You know, don't mess around with the Gufa Shel Eidus. That's Hakrosha in Chakiros. But when you get to Bedikos, where Bedikos, even in the case of the Nefashis, is purely a luxury item that we allow the judges to employ, but it's not Mikra Adin. It says V'darashta V'chakarta Heitev. Is when we get to Bedikos, you're not talking about Gufa Shel Eidus. And if you're not talking about Gufa Shel Eidus, then if there's Akosha, so what? As long as there is a common link, right, between the two Eidim in Gufa Shel Eidus, then we have the Gufa Shel Eidus. And therefore the Eidus is Ksheira. So now we're going to embellish this a little further, because again, Rabbo said what we have to keep in mind is that in Dine Nefashos, where Bedikos are not necessary, what happens if the judges decided for whatever reason to interrogate the Eidus at the level of Bedikos and there was a contradiction between them? What would be the din as far as the Eidus? Anybody with me?
It'd be possible.
And the question is, if it's not Migufa Shel Eidus, so that we'll get to in just a minute. Now the Ran quotes Tosus and the Ramban, and they ask the following question: Am I chayav l'shalem kuf kesef, meaning the knas of motzi shemra, kishahukreshu b'chakiros? Underline that word chakiros. And he says the following: The Ramban came on the kaimalon de medine momenos ain tzar drisha b'chakira. In Cain, Legabe Hefsid Ksuba. Okay, we spoke about the Meir Kesef, but he's also introducing the Ksuba, which now the Baal is going to have to pay because of the Eidei Av. Mehemna. Now, what does that mean, mehemna? We're talking about what kind of hakasha, Rabbi Osai. Take a look at the language of the Ramban. The chakiros. How come I don't get any answers here when I ask basic questions? That's what gets me frustrated. Right? Take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, who kshuva chakiros? And the Ramban says that as far as hefsei ksuva is concerned, we should believe these eidim. Does that make any sense to you? We say that even in Dini Vomitos, where you don't require drishas for chakiros, if there was a contradiction in drishas for chakiros, we have to throw out the eidim. So what does Ramban mean to ask when he says that we believe these eidim? Because why we don't have to, there was no requirement on our part to be doresh for choker, right? The Torah doesn't require drishas for chakiros in Dini Vomitos, and therefore, if they contradict each other, we can still accept their eidus. Because we're dealing with Dini Mamonos, that you don't need Rishu Chakiri, that doesn't make any sense. The Ramban's cash is no cash, because we know that if in Dini Mamonos there's a kosh in the Drishu Chakiri, we have to throw out the Eidim. How can the Ramban say we're Mehemni? So here, Rabosa, we're going to turn to page Tzadi Vav. L'chorat Sarech Iyun, second line. My Hikshu Atosus Ramban, what was that question over here? That he's not a chayv as a motzi shemra because we're going to believe the Eidim. What do you mean believe the Eidim? There's Akosh and Chakiris. We don't accept the Eidim when there's Akosh and Chakiris, even in Dini Momenos. And that was the Rambam that we started with in Perek Yimel Milchus Seidus. In other words, when the Ran says that there was akhasha, remember we were medayik in the Lashon Aran in the previous page, bottom right, that there was what kind of akhasha, and therefore he's chayav as motzi shemra. Everybody? In chakiros. The Ran was very meticulous, very careful about his choice of words. Mitch would say, but Rabbi Berzin's not always meticulous about the way, right? But the Ran is meticulous, you know what I mean? You can't catch the Ran on a mistake. The Ran says that Akosha wasn't Chakiris. And that makes 1,000% sense, because even though in Dini Mominus we don't require to subject the Eidim to Chakiris, but if there's a contradiction, we'll have to throw out the Eidim, hence he's a Motzi Shemra. But in Bedikos, the Ran is telling us that Hukhashu would not in any way undermine the Eidus. Okay, so now the Ramban comes forward and says, well, even in the case of Hukhashu B'chakiros, we still believe these Eidim. How could that be? And not only that, if you think, you know, let's just cross out the word Chakiros here, you know, in the Ramban, let's say maybe there was a typo or something, right, a toast to fuss. Well, I'll show you the Sefer Trumos. Sefer Trumos is also a Rishon. And he writes, I don't remember his name, who the Sefer Trumos was, but there's a super commentary on the Sefer Trumos called the Gidule Truma. A lot of people will buy the Sefer Trumos because of the commentary. The commentary is extensive. And the reason I bought it, I happen to have the first edition, is because the name of the author was Rabbi Zaria Fago. And I like that name. Anyway, he was an Italian Jew some 4 centuries ago. So he wrote the Gedulei Truma, super commentary on the Sefer Trumos. Anyway, so the Sefer Trumos writes, Kaimalon, the Eidim HaMachishim Zetze B'Bedikos, Kosher B'Dini Mominos. So far, so good. Because we said that Dini Mominos, as far as B'Dikos and Dini Mominos, is totally luxury. It's not part of the Gufa Shel Eidus. Who cares if they contradict each other? Again, I don't know why they bothered interrogating them. That I don't have an answer to. But for Yesh Omrim, listen to this. I don't know if it's underlined in your copy, but you should underline it. V'yesh omrim dehu adin kemakhish kishemakhishim zed zebachakiros gam kein kosher. Rabosa, if you want to change the gears in the Ramban, it's not going to help you for the Sefer Trumos, who quotes the Yesh Omrim. Our sympathy is with the Yesh Cholkim on the next line. V'yomim didafka noket makhishim bebedikos. And the Rambam is outspoken about this. But there's a Yesh Omrim quoted here in the Sefer Trumos to the effect that even if they contradict each other, the Chakiros, nevertheless the Eidus is kosher. against the Rama. Well, that means that since there was no need to be Dorish them in Chakiras, then there's no din of Hakhoshna. Vihine, Bechoshim Mishpat Simon Lamid, Posak HaMachaber, the Afalpi, the Ein Ede, Afalpi, She'ein Ede Dine Mominus Tzrichim Drishas Vachakiris, and Mechishus Heads Vachakiris, they do some Betela. And in other words, the Shulchan Aruch is codifying the law as the Rambam would have it. And the Shach says, even any Yodea, if you remember, in Chakiros. Lefizeh niradat tosis Ramban sovereign to bedini mominus afilu machishim zezev hakiros kosher mishmochi shapi hikshor Rabbeinu Tam. How could Rabbeinu Tam make this guy into motzi shemra and make him pay or make him lose the ksuba and so forth, pay the ksuba, which is dini mominos, even if I grant you there's a hakira? Yeah, I'm sorry, even if I grant you there was akosha, and let's jack up the akosha to the highest level of akosha, namely to akosha in chakiros, nevertheless, the avus is kshera. So it's very interesting now, if we go back to Reb Chaim says the chakiros is part of the gufa shel avus. We're going to have to say that that's only in dine nefashas, but in dine mominus, according to Ramban and Tosus, it comes out that even chakiros is not part. In Dini Mominus, even Chakiris is not part of the Gufa Shaledus. Despite the fact that in Dini Nefashis, the Rambam has the upper hand here conceptually. The Rambam is saying that, look, in Chakiros, in Dini Nefashis, we're dealing with what? Gufa Shaledus. Well, but again, if that be the case, then when we fast forward to Dini Mominus, then again, the Chakiris should be part of Gufa Shaledus. But again, the Ramban couldn't tolerate that, because the Ramban says, "Well, if the Chakiris is part of Gufa Shaledus, then we have to interrogate the Edim and ask them the seven questions of the Chakiris, because otherwise we don't really have a complete Gufa Shaledus. It must be that the Chakiris in Dini Mominos are not part of the Gufa Shaledus." And the Nafkamin is going to be the following: in Dini Nefashos, where the Chakiris are part of the Gufa Shaledus, if there's Akash, we have to throw out the Edim. There's no way of salvaging Edim when there's Akash in the Gufa Shaledus between one Edim and the other. But when we get to Dini Mominos, then we're talking about Chakiris, which are not part of the Gufa Shaledus, and as long as they don't contradict each other in Gufa Shaledus, you know, Reuven owes Shimon $100 because he borrowed $100, and I'm not going to tell you what color shirt he wears, is in that case, we can understand. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a bedika. But let's say a Chakira, where we ask him something about Mokum Uzman, oh, I don't remember exactly when the money was borrowed. Well, we didn't have to ask you this question, so obviously it's not part of the Gufa Shaledus, and therefore if the Edom contradict each other, we can still salvage the Edoms. And that's a radical position conceptually of the Ramban and Tosfos. So let's just summarize, because we're going to have to end soon, and let's say the following. When Rabbeinu Tam says that a motzi shemra has to pay a heavy knas because he brought in Edom and they were disqualified by virtue of hakhosha, what does Rabbeinu Tam have in mind? So we have three possible answers to this question. One answer is Rabbeinu Tam has in mind hakhosha, where there's a second pair of Edom that came in and say that she was with us in a different place at that time. She couldn't have committed that act of adultery. That's called trey. The Ran rejects that outright, because in the case of Trey, we don't know who's telling the truth. So there's no way that you can fault the Baal for two Edom that may or may not be telling the truth. Then we get into another machlokus, another two possibilities in Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about Edom Ekhishu Es Atzman. There's not a second pair of Edom, there's only one pair of Edom. And now we're going to have another machlokus. The Ran is going to say that Ekhishu Es Atzman means Bechakiros. And he's going to say that just like in Chakiros, in Dini Nefashos, the Chakiros are part of the Gufa Shaledus, so too they're part of the Gufa Shaledus in the case of Dini Mominos. And hence, if there's a contradiction between the two Edom in Chakiros, just like in Dini Nefashos, so too in Dini Mominos, we're going to have to throw out the Edom. The Ramban has a third sheet, and the Ramban sheet is what Rabbeinu Tam had in mind, was a Hakosha in Bedigos. And I'm sorry, my mistake. That according to Ramban, according to the Ran, I'm afraid I may have said the wrong thing in the Ran. Let me go over the Ran again. The Ran is going to say that Akosha was in Bedigos. And, no, just one second. Just one second, one more time. Let me see. According to the Ran, what does Rabbeinu Tam have in mind? That the Akosha was in, right, the Akosha was in Chakiros, correct? And if the Akosha was in Chakiros, we have to throw out the Edom, even though it's Dinei Mamonos, because it's part of the Gufa Shaledos. And that's why the Baal is Chayav Mishum Motzishim. Comes along the Ramban and he says, I don't know. How could I accept Rabbeinu Tam? And so again, I made a mistake by saying that the Ramban is a third interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam. No, the Ramban is taking opposition and he's objecting to Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because the Ramban holds that in Dine Mamonos, even if there's Hakosha in Chakiros, we still Machshir the Eidus. How could Rabbeinu Tam postulate, again, the way, see, there is a third shita in Rabbeinu Tam, at least the way the Ramban interpreted the words of Rabbeinu Tam. According to Ramban, when Rabbeinu Tam employed the word Hakosha, what he had in mind was Hakoshin Chakiros. Comes along the Ramban, he says, if it's Hakoshin Chakiros, but it's Dini Momenos, then we will rely on the Edom, we will not throw out and disqualify the Edom, hence, how could he be Chai for Motzi Shemra? And here's where we have a radical breakthrough, that the Ramban says that since the Torah doesn't require Chakiros in Dini Momenos, then as far as Dini Momenos is concerned, it's not part of the Gufa Shaledus, and therefore we can Makshah the Edom, even if there's Hakoshah in Chakiros. So, B'li Neda, tomorrow I hope we'll finish up this essay. Because we pretty much have laid the groundwork for what's going to come next. And I thank you all again for coming, and we'll hopefully see you tomorrow. Okay, then?